This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the mess?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for listening. And remember to, if you enjoy these podcasts, never miss an episode. Hit the subscribe button, whether you're listening to it on YouTube or iTunes or Stitcher or one of the many other channels. This is downloaded around the world. We always bring you content information relative to chiropractic as we do at the Mile High Chiropractic Movement Weekend. And you can join us August 15th to 19th, www.milehighchiroregistration.com. And this episode, we have on with us Dr. Christy Kwan, who's completed her Doctor of Chiropractic degree with the research track at Life University with Pi Tau Delta honors. She's a Mile High favorite, and she received her Bachelor's of Science in Biomedical Engineering with a minor in Computer Science and Master's of Science in Biotechnology degrees at Johns Hopkins University. She studied health policy at Harvard University of Public Health, and she is presently the executive director of the Foundation for Vertebral Subluxation, which we are big supporters and fans of. She's a full-time faculty member at Life University, and she serves on numerous boards and advisory panels. She is head, shoulders, knees, toes deep, head in chiropractic research, and she's presented worldwide on topics pertaining to her research, as well as educational conferences around the world, and has presented Mile High before. We are so grateful to have you on this podcast episode and at Mile High again this year. Welcome to the episode, Dr. Christy Kwan.
Thanks, Danny. I'm so glad to be heading back to Mile High. Mile High 7 is a big one. What a milestone. I'm really grateful that you and Rochelle continue to have the passion to be doing these 7 years in a row. So, you know, it's pretty incredible. It's no small feat, these events that you guys put on. And it's a great event every year. So it's something that we really need. One thing that's really unique about Mile High being kind of Midwest in the middle of the country, I know it brings a group of chiropractors together from the East and West Coast that don't always get to be face to face. And that creates an even more vibrant energy. So thank you.
Yes, and thank you. Our goal, one of our goals, is to be an anchor for the chiropractic community in the center of the country. And I've got to tell you, part of what fuels us each year is you and what you do for the foundation, because we're so enthused about the energy that you put on. We're like, well, we have to keep doing, you know, Mile High because of Christy and because of the foundation. So, and that being said, we'll talk some about the highlights of things that the Foundation for Vertebral Subluxation are doing and things coming up in the future year and things that they've done in the past year. However, I'd like people to know, how do they reach the foundation? How do they learn more about it after this episode and they want to learn more?
Yeah. So to start, visit our website, www.vertebralsubluxation.org, and have a newsletter so you can submit your email address. We'll send you emails to your inbox. There's also a link to support us as a 501c3. All of the contributions are tax deductible, and we also run an IRB, Institutional Review Board, who can help you get your research project off the ground. If you need to reach me individually, you can also send me an email, vertebralsubluxation.cquon, C-K-W-O-N, @gmail.com. And of course, come by and say hello at our booth at Mile High in August.
Absolutely. Now, that being said, I also want to acknowledge and thank all the people that a few years ago we raised funds for the foundation for becoming, I think it was called President's Members. Is that what it was? President's Levels, for doing that and continuing to support the foundation. So first of all, talk a little bit about what's transpired and was done with what was raised at Mile High in the past, what the foundation has accomplished with that.
Yeah, and I can honestly say that the support that you and Rochelle have given us, along with all of the Mile High attendees who joined the President's Circle, it's been instrumental. There's been a few organizations in our profession, and Mile High as an event is one of them, that have made everything that we're doing up to now possible. So we have one exciting thing, or a group of exciting things, which is bringing more people in on our team to help further our mission. So part of that has been some scholarships that were awarded. The first one is for someone probably every listener knows and loves, and that's Dr. Simon Senzon. Thank you.
Yay!
You, and also taking on a huge, huge project of his own. So he's getting an advanced degree to further explore chiropractic history and the philosophical constructs that have come out of that, to kind of better understand where we came from and then how we got to where we are. It's incredible work, and it's such a unique way to look at our evidence base. I'm really grateful for Simon and his work, and we wouldn't be able to do that without the support of the profession. One thing that I talked about a little bit, we were just getting it off the ground when Mile High featured the foundation 2 years ago, and that's our guidelines project. That's a project that's heading to the federal government. So it'll be Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, National Guidelines Committee publication eventually. I just got word a few minutes before we logged on for this podcast from my team that literature search has been completed. That's so huge. I want to say thank you to all of my research team for that guidelines project, for being part of this. It's not something any one person could accomplish on his or her own. It really took manpower from people who care, and it also really took a lot of the funding from people who care again. So that's huge. It's thousands of articles that we've put together in order to update, kind of add information that tells us, reconfirms what we knew from previous iterations of the guidelines documents, and also adds, you know, these are the better, newer, even better ways in which we can help people. So thanks to everyone who's published over the past few years that's published in support of the chiropractic profession, because we've used all of your literature to help support these guidelines. That's what publishing does.
That's outstanding. And let's say a little bit more about that, which is, why are guidelines important to education? Why are they important to research? And why are they important to the practitioner in the field?
Sure. So the National Guidelines Clearinghouse is an agency that tracks guidelines documents for every profession. It's not just for chiropractors. It's important because it creates kind of a standard for what we accept as useful. So it helps us understand that we should be using instrumentation, that we should be using imaging, that there is a purpose for taking care of pregnant women and a reason to take care of children. It sets standards and allows us to do what we do. And it helps inform policymakers, it helps inform regulators, and hopefully education as well, relevant to what we can and should be doing. And ultimately, I think it should help us improve our collective certainty in what we do.
And that's so vital, because one of the things that I notice is working with chiropractors all around the world over 20 plus years, is so often people are not certain about the adjustment, or not certain about subluxation or the effectiveness of what they do, or they're not measuring that. And this is a very important thing in the healing process, for you to have certainty and transfer that certainty and confidence to the person you're caring for. So a vital part of being an outstanding practitioner. Now, looking at that, with the foundation, a hot topic lately has been this school of chiropractic medicine that you may have heard about, that opened somewhere in the South, and is offering a degree in chiropractic medicine. Well, to me, that speaks even more loudly of why the foundation's work is so important. What are your feelings on that?
Thanks, Danny. So it's kind of an interesting and weird evolution of things in that if we look at the CDC and their guidelines, the Council on Chiropractic Education doesn't actually support a doctor of chiropractic medicine degree. It's kind of not real. But I think it does go back to the question of certainty. And so one thing that the foundation, when we first established ourselves as an organization back in 2010, we had four arms, or we still have four arms, and those are policy, education, research, and service. And so one thing, for those of you who receive our newsletters, you know that we also try to keep the profession abreast of what's happening in terms of changes in our profession, and this is a huge change. This is to some extent a milestone, but I think that it's important to know what's going on so that, you know, maybe we try to keep track of these things, but then how do we quote unquote fight it is we just strengthen what we do. And so I think it's important that we know what's going on so that we can come up with better solutions to better arm ourselves. So one thing we've also done relevant to that is we funded some additional scholarships. And so a set of scholarships have gone to students at Sherman College. It's a great team who's going to help us continue sort of in a future planning phase for guidelines and research maintenance, just so we know, and we're keeping up to date with the literature that's out there. So I'm really glad to have those guys on our team. Somewhat newly as of the end of last year. And I'm also excited to say that I've been awarded a scholarship. So I'm now back.
Yay!
So everything else is still true. Nothing's changed there, but I've also added being a full-time student again to my schedule. So I'm at Emory University at the Rollins School of Public Health, and I'm working on becoming a better researcher to help us make positive changes and focus on what we can do to contribute to what we consider our evidence base. Not to say we can't not worry about what's going on outside of our walls, but have better tools to tackle the issues that are coming up.
Outstanding. And another sign of why this is important is often Dr. Matthew McCoy, who puts out information about how often it's been quoted, the denying the existence of subluxation, removing it from our lexicon. And also that's from within our schools and from school administration and accreditation bodies. And that to me says how important it is, the work the foundation is, so that people are aware of how much there is in terms of research and knowledge around chiropractic and subluxation adjustment. So for that, for the listener who's a practitioner in the field, what can you share with them about what evidence there is for subluxation and adjustment and its role in health?
Yeah, so as a practitioner, you're probably hearing a lot about evidence-informed medicine or evidence-based versus subluxation-based, evidence versus chiropractic. And I just, you know, would love to put that type of conversation to rest because those are not conflicting concepts, right? So we can have a subluxation-centered evidence base. It's the evidence base that supports us delivering patient-centered care that, you know, is it's interested in what is our philosophy, what is the science behind the human body and the healing process, what is the science behind the chiropractic adjustment, and bringing all of that together as research and also as what is happening in your offices on a day-to-day basis. So I think that it's really important that we consider that those are not actually conflicts. When people say that those are conflicting concepts, that's a fallacy that's being presented to sort of kind of detract from what is actually there. And it's an unfortunate situation, but I think it's really important that we have the certainty to know that there's a lot of ways in which we can show that there are indicators that somebody needs to be, you know, to be adjusted, they need something in their life, and then also ways to show that there's indicators that show there's been improvements or changes in their life. And rather than just going based on being symptom-based, there's a lot more to it. before and after the presence of symptoms. So I think it's just important that we consider all of these things as we talk about these conversations, as we have these conversations moving forward, because the term evidence-informed is not going away. We just need to harness it and understand it and get better at doing what we do.
Outstanding, outstanding. And again, this is why I feel supporting the foundation is vital. It's vital that every practicing chiropractor that's concerned about the future of their profession and humanity receiving chiropractic care support research in some way. So that being said, what are some things people can do if they want to publish papers and they don't even know where to begin, and they're interested in some of the case studies or data collection they have in their own office?
Well, I would encourage people to read, to get started by reading the published literature that's out there. Some of it's going to inspire you, add to the literature, you know, kind of like, oh, I could do that. I could put something together and help you feel ideas for what you might want to write about out of your own practices. And I think that's really important. The other piece too, that is then you might also find that there's not literature that you were hoping to find out on the internet. And so maybe that will inspire you to be the person to pioneer adding that literature to the databases. There's lots of ways we can measure outcomes in our practices. So first, make sure you're using something, and it's probably some things plural, in that we want to recognize that the entity of the subluxation has a biomechanical component and also neurological component. And currently, there's not really an objective measure that allows us to measure both simultaneously, but there's plenty of ways we can measure both. So if you're using x-ray, how are you complementing that to show also neurological changes or functional changes? So heart rate variability, thermography, whatever it might be, quality of life, really useful ways to measure changes for that patient or that group of patients. So be purposeful in what you do, you know, do your analysis for a reason, use the tools that make the most sense to you and for your technique, but also get really good at explaining those and understanding what they're really measuring. And then easily, you know, the steps of writing will come more easily the more you understand what you're doing.
Yes, outstanding. And with all the projects that the foundation has already done in their research agenda, what's exciting to look forward to in projects ahead?
One thing I'm personally really excited about is an agenda that we have to do research related to advanced imaging. So I know you've had some personal experiences related to imaging and how impactful that is. So there's a quote out in the research world, and it's, if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Right. So if you can measure it, if you can see it, if you can make a picture of it, it means that much more. And last year I completed a visiting fellowship at Harvard in advanced imaging. And I learned so much about how the brain and the body works from these radiologists in terms of just, you know, how different connections occur in different parts of the brain and what that means about how that person's doing overall. So there's a lot of literature out there that supports changes in what's called resting state functional MRI for people who are suffering from poor health. And that can be not just physical, but also issues like anxiety or depression. And there's changes in the way that the body communicates with itself. And I found it so fascinating. The technology exists to image the brain as well as the spinal cord. Spinal cord imaging is newer. It's the newest technology. And our research agenda is focused on brain because it's a little more established in that realm of literature. And our stage in research is better suited to doing the brain. It's expensive and it'll be a lot of work, but there's definitely passion and interest. And we're hoping to build the infrastructure and funding to allow us to do that and really see, you know, what's going on when people are under care over a period of time? What does that mean about how the body is talking to itself.
Wow. And isn't that exciting? Isn't that something that as a profession we should have ongoing across the board and all be really engaged in?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, again, we started out with a podcast with encouraging people to support the foundation. And I want to just mention again, what's the website and how do they support and become a member or donor?
The website is www.vertebralsubluxation.org. And on there is a link to support us financially. Presence level contributions or anything that fits for you currently is welcome. And we are a 501c3. All contributions are tax deductible. And also you can send me an email if you have any individual questions. vertebralsubluxation.cquon@gmail.com.
Excellent. And you know, something that was said by one of my mentors, Tom Gilardi, and he was talking to us about supporting and donating when I was a student. And he said that, you know, don't randomly donate, meaning people may decide to donate to organizations that are important, but just happen to send something in the mail or they knock on the door, and they may not donate to chiropractic. And so I really want to encourage people to put on the top of their list when they're considering charitable donations, the foundation. I do that with many things, and I also do that with Mile High. It's part of my energy that I put into the profession because I feel it contributes to where the profession's going. So I'd like you to participate in Mile High by being here, be part of the vision, because it will uplift you in terms of deepening your understanding of the philosophy, expanding your vision for impacting your community and the world, and increasing your strategies, your business strategies, to be successful in practice so you can give more to the foundation and other organizations. So we look forward to seeing everybody August 15th to 18th, 2019, Mile High 7, yes, 007, which will be very exciting. And by the way, Christy, you've got to see your image. We did our speaker announcement images, and you've got a James Bondish female heroine image coming out. So just so you know. Yes, it's like that. Exactly. And so you'll see that. So we look forward to seeing everybody there. And get registered. If you listen to the podcast, use code MHPODCAST to save $50 off registration. www.milehighcarregistration.com. We look forward to seeing you rise up to a mile high in this August. Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighcairo.